Welcome back to the Spodcasters, week three.
Can't believe we made it this far.
That's true. It's a journey every week.
It's really like week three and a half because we already did this once, even though no one will ever know.
It's true. We had a few technical difficulties, and we'll just leave it at that. Today, I'm joined by a couple different guests and the Orange Journal World football beat writer, Ryan Wood. What's up, Ryan?
Not much, man. How you been?
I'm living. And Channel 6 sports anchor, DJ Wetter.
How are you, Andy?
Pretty good.
Introduce yourself, Andy. This is Andy Samuelson, the online sports editor for KUSports.com. Proud sponsors of the Spodcasters, now in its third week.
That's right. We do have our first sponsor, and it is our company. I still think that's something to be proud of.
They call them house ads in the newspapers, but we'll take one. We'll take it.
I'll take two. The World Company. Channel 6 would also like to sponsor these Spodcasters.
Why not?
Well, just like to add that Tom Keegan did make it back from Hawaii, but he's on vacation today.
And Kevin Romery is on vacation in Lawrence with his parents, so a big shout-out to the Romery family.
Kevin Romery is sleeping off the turkey.
That's
still
right.
We are late afternoon on Friday right now, and he's still asleep, I hear.
It's true. I called him, and no answer. Let me say this. I haven't had any turkey yet because I'm staying awake for the people is what I'm doing. No tryptophan for me this holiday season. We got a big KU football game, a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get to that football game in a moment. Let's talk about what a lot of the fans want to talk about. Let's talk about the trip to Maui. Jayhawks didn't fare as well as a lot of people probably expected, or maybe hoped for at least, but a young team probably learned some lessons along the way.
I think hope for is the right word. I think a 1-2 record, you know, was expected. Maybe not the route they took, losing the first two and having to beat a Division II team to get that one win. But, you know, it's a young team. You know, you can't expect world beaters out of the gate. I mean, it's never the case in college basketball teams, and especially with a team with 80%, you know, sophomores and freshmen. So, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about here. They stunk it up a couple different plays, and they were pretty good a couple times. So, that's what you got to take from it.
I think you get rid of the highs, you get rid of the lows, and overall it was a decent tournament for KU. As Ryan said, I think you wanted to be 1-2, and that was probably optimistic, but you probably wanted a win to be against Arkansas and then take on a Maryland team in the third round. Instead, you get Chaminade, but don't discount Chaminade. And I want to talk about the turnovers. Against Idaho State and Arizona, we have 24 and 27 turnovers. Do the Jayhawks, but then they come back against Arkansas and Chaminade just 16 and 13, and that's a definite improvement. And when you have four freshmen on the floor, three sophomores playing a majority of the minutes, I think that's a pretty good turnout. And the fact that those went down significantly says a lot about the improvements of this team. And especially with the freshmen, I think I saw a lot out of Julian Wright, especially Ryan, that he stepped up. His passing is better, his game was better, and he's preseason freshman of the year, and I think he's showing why that's the case now with his passing and his ball handling skills and some amazing dunks.
Was there any of the four freshmen who took a step backwards this week though? That's one thing you got to consider when talking about this. They all looked better in the last game than they did the first game. So, I mean that's a sign that they're moving forward. They're getting better. You know, there's a long hill to climb, but they'll be all right. They'll be all right.
I think you always talk about the NCAA game being faster than a high school game, but it was almost like the freshmen were playing too fast in their first couple outings. They were all over the place and diving and this and that, but never seemed like the ball was firmly in their hands. Even when Brandon Rush was dribbling against Arizona that first game, you never felt like he had the ball. But they've actually started to slow down a little bit in these last two contests against Arkansas and Chaminade. And as they've slowed down, the game has started to come to them, and you can see their talent, and that's what matters.
I'll tell you what. That Arizona game was bad to watch.
That was a rough game.
That was painful. Both sides. You know, Arizona,
Well, Arizona comes in, first game of the year, and they're running a new motion offense, yeah. And that was 28% shooting, and we come in with 27 turnovers, so they win 28% to 27 turnovers.
And one thing that irked me about Arizona, I can't even remember the guy's name. He had a headband on. He shot a three, nailed it in the second half at some time, and celebrated like he was the man. Who was that? And why is he celebrating like that? He was just as bad as anyone else in the court that day.
Might have been Rogers. I know he was running his mouth a little bit.
Yeah, that was him. That was him. But come on, man.
It's a big three.
That was not a big three.
Up by 12.
You hit a three. Go back to the back of the court and defend.
Well, let's not forget that he was in front of 2,200 fans in Maui.
That brings out the out the glitter in everyone's eyes, I guess.
I would think so. It's a nationally televised game and huge crowd there, so.
Have we heard back from Gary Bedore and Tom Keegan? How have they done in Maui?
I don't know. I know Bedore had some bad fish he talked about quite a
bit. I did see that.
That's a true story. If you've been reading Gary Bedore's postcards, he is staying away from mahi-mahi, I believe, because did not do his system well, I guess.
He did recommend going to Maui for your honeymoon. You know what? I think I'm going to listen to him. I'm heading
Maui. Hey, time out here. Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood is off the market, by the way. Beat writer for your Lawrence Journal World. He is now an engaged man, so Jayhawk fans' hearts break
everywhere. Got a cute little blonde. Said yes to me, and we're going to actually go to Maui for a honeymoon, thanks to our great friend, Gary Bedore. So, Gary, thank you. Thank you for the advice and the postcard, and hopefully you find some better fish next time you're in Maui in 2009.
And your honeymoon is brought to you by Gary Bedore for Lawrence Journal World. And let's remind people that Tom Keegan and Kevin Rumry will be back. So
keep
if you're already, yeah, keep listening
holidays.
To this. Enjoy, you know, take a break on your holiday weekend, and then they'll come back.
I do know through a source that Gary Bedore spent all day yesterday on the beach before he took the red-eye flight home. So
well, he might be a little red himself because Bedore's not a pretty pasty out there, folks.
That's why you got to get him out. You got to get that tan in the winter. Hey, I'm no tan man right now either.
I know we were on a conference call with Mr. Keegan, and he said, hold on, it's pretty hot out. I need to go into the shade real quick. And that I felt that was a bit much.
That
unnecessary.
Inappropriate.
Unnecessary.
We don't want to hear that here in Kansas.
Yeah, it was blustery here.
And also, from the pictures we saw today, it looked like the Jayhawks had a little fun out there. Julian Wright doing some bodyboarding, boogie boarding. What's the difference? I'm not sure about that.
Well, boogie boarding, I think you're on your knees and you're getting trailed by a boat. And that's something they do on freshwater lakes, Andy Sam. The bodyboarding is something you lay on your stomach on a board and you let the wave take in. Kind of like surfing for dummies, which is why I'm a good bodyboarder. I cannot surf for the life of me.
I'm going to call you out on that. I believe the wakeboarding is on your knees.
Yeah,
no, that's knee boarding.
Well, I don't know.
Who knows? There's a lot of boards. The point is, Julian Wright comes from a long lineage of fine wakeboarders / boogie boarders because he's from Chicago, that area, and where they have Lake Michigan, and there's huge, huge waves there, and Ryan Wood doesn't believe me, but go there in the middle of the winter, the
wake
is ridiculous.
The only way you're going to get a huge wave there is the yacht drives right by and creates a big wake.
Have you seen the yachts that they have in Lake Michigan?
That's when you get the Sea-Doos and just, you know, go airborne, man. Well, I got a concussion on a Sea-Doo once because of a big boat. That's the only way on a lake, though. It is a true story. I don't remember coming down.
Let me say this, though. I don't know what we're talking about. Let me say this. You saw Julian Wright's form in the paper. He knows what he's doing on that boogie board, and I think that's impressive because he's multi-talented. He can do it on the court and in the water, and he comes from a long line of people who boogie board.
He boogie boards like he passes a ball, and that's a lot to be proud of. The guy can do it all. You know, one of these days he's going to be cooking meals for, you know, the homeless, so...
All right, let's get
back to
some basketball.
Boogie board into that.
Chef Julian.
All right, eight people just stopped listening.
Right. Well, the Jayhawks also have another tough test this Thursday against a Nevada team that's given them some fits in the past. What do you think about this game coming up?
Top 25 team, you know, they got to show up to play. And, you know, Nevada 2 years ago in Reno wasn't pretty. And then they came here last year and they weren't the same Nevada team and they got whooped. So, who knows what's going to happen Thursday? You know, KU's certainly capable of beating a top 25 team, you know, if they're on their game. But, you know, they got to show up and play. And that's a big if.
I agree.
With 11 freshman sophomore.
Here's what I'm looking for. You got the guys coming off a holiday break where they got yesterday off, Thanksgiving off. They enjoyed their time on the beach, as you saw from the pictures. Today they're flying back. They're back in town now, I think as of 12:30.
Right.
And that's no practice for 2 days. They're going to hit the courts hard tomorrow twice. They're going to practice twice on Saturday, which means, and I think Coach said this, they have a ton to learn this week and a ton to build off of after what happened in Maui. So you've got a Nevada game where I don't think Jeff Hawkins had a very good tournament as a senior. I don't think Christian Moody played like we thought maybe he should have. And in that case, I think you have two guys that need to step up and need to do something and lead this group. And I think that the freshmen learned a ton, and we'll see what they know come that Nevada game. So I really think that's an important game next Thursday.
Yeah, they got Nevada, and then they got Western Illinois over the weekend, and then they're off to New York City, the greatest city on earth, to play St. Joseph's. So that's another tough test. St. Joe's isn't the team it used to be, obviously, but, you know, playing on the road in the Madison Square Garden is going to be a little overwhelming to some of those freshmen, so they'll need a good game.
Speaking of Hawkins and Moody, you almost wonder if they've kind of lost their role or really struggling to figure out their identity with this young team. They've always kind of had Simeon Langford, guys like that, Miles to look up to and carry the load. Looks like they might be struggling just a little bit to figure out their role in this year's team.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. I will take this
There's
question.
There's no way first. That what I had to say is any more insightful than what he has to say, so go ahead.
here's what I have to say. This is DJ Wetter coming at you with the real thing. The deal with Jeff Hawkins and Christian Moody, they were role players last year, and Moody, more than anybody, played an amazing role and stepped up, and I believe he was called the greatest walk-on in NCAA history,
okay,
and so on and so forth. Hey, Billy Packard said it.
Yeah,
who said, is that who said it? I think, yeah.
I believe so.
Anyway, the point being, they were role players, and they could play their role very well. Hawkins can come in and hit some threes against Baylor, and that's considered a great, you know, outing for him. But now they have to be the leaders on this team, and they were never supposed to be those leaders. These freshmen and sophomores are going to have to learn real quick, and it'll be nice when Hawkins and Moody can stay as role players if that can happen. Point being, Moody doesn't have the hands-down load that CJ or Sasha has, as we've seen, and Jeff doesn't have the ball-handling skills that I believe eventually Mario and Russell will have or do have right now. And in that case, these guys need to be leaders off the court, but on the court, I think you really need to see these sophomores and freshmen continue to step up.
Yeah, Jayhawk and Moody need to be fill-ins until, you know, Mario's ready to go, until Sasha and CJ can completely stay out of foul trouble. You know, that's going to have to be their role. And these guys are both guys that had humble beginnings. Neither one of them were on scholarship when they first got here. So, you know, that's one thing they're going to have to realize what their roles are and realize that, you know, they're not the most talented guys on this team and live with that. And I think they'll be all right in that regard. But I think it's more of a problem for Hawkins right now just because he's asked to take on a bigger role, being a leader and being a guy who, outside of one game of year, hasn't had too impressive of a career at KU. So I'm just wondering when he's going to have that 12-3-point outburst against, you know, whoever and, you know, drop 40 points and be a hero again, because you know it's coming for one game this year.
Well, let's not dog on Hawkins too much. Obviously, he did have the 11 turnovers off the mainland, but also 18 assists, especially a really nice lob to CJ there to take the lead, what a lot of people probably thought was going to be the game-winning basket in that Arkansas contest.
Well, I think the execution you saw in that Arkansas game says a lot. End of the game, you call a timeout, you set up a play, and it was ran perfectly. CJ gets the dunk. Hawkins with a pass that looked like was headed back to the mainland, but CJ came down with it. So, you know, big ups to him for that. But it was excellent work there, and I don't want to dog on Hawkins, and I don't want to dog on Moody or anybody like that, but I really think ultimately they're role players. In the end of the year, you don't see these guys on the court as much as you see them now, and that's better for the team. And I think they realize that, and all the young guys have said that they have been the leaders thus far, and they can be leaders from a more role player standpoint on the court. But off the court, they want to be vocal. If they want to lead by example, I'm more than happy with that, and I think that's important.
18 assists to 11 turnovers isn't horrible either. You know, this isn't Aaron Miles. This isn't a guy who's in the NBA now who spent 4 years as a top-flight point guard who didn't have a whole lot of turnovers, and his ratio is really good. And we can't expect that this year out of anybody on the KU roster, because nobody had the experience and the savvy that Aaron Miles had, at least right now. I think Mario has the opportunity and the potential to someday, but not right now.
So probably, I mean, not the trip that everybody wanted. Probably people wanted 2-1. Some sloppy play against Arizona. Maybe a defensive lapse there at the end against Arkansas. But it was a great tournament. Let's talk about the tournament overall and maybe what impressed you. Maybe Gonzaga really kind of stood out. How about that Morrison kid?
What about him?
What are you referring to?
Let's just talk.
Samuelson's a big fan
of Adam Morrison.
That's true.
I guess so.
Is it the haircut? Is it the mustache?
The mustache.
Is it the entire look, Andy? Or what,
I think
what intrigues
stash.
You?
I haven't seen a stash that good since.
Maybe
David Lawrence is back.
Burt Reynolds. David Lawrence had a good one.
TJ Watley might give him a run for the money, too, but that was one excellent.
Let's say this. Adam mustache. Morrison was a good player last year, but obviously the stash has done him well because now he's a great player. And I think he proved that he's one of the better players in the nation and that Gonzaga is for real.
You know who else has shown some remarkable improvement with the addition of a mustache is Jake Plummer, the Denver Broncos. Yes.
Great point.
He doesn't throw interceptions anymore.
The KU baseball team did it last year.
KU baseball team.
And they had a little run.
Oh, they had some good ones. Jake Kozlerich.
Wow.
Had a redheaded 70s stash, man. I was really impressed with that.
That
he
was the
good.
Dirtiest mustache I ever saw, and I'd still like to say props to him for doing that.
Andy, I think you're going a little bit of a mustache there. Am I right?
All right, we might have to switch gears.
Let's take a vote on it. Maybe I should grow one. Do it on the news.
Maybe we all should. Yeah. DJ on the Channel 6 News, doing it with a mustache.
I look ugly enough as it is doing the 10 o'clock. I don't think we need a mustache added to that. But if that improves my game on air,
on the Spodcasters,
right.
We got to make sacrifices. So.
If we get invited back, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
I'll never know. But, hey, you want to talk about the tournament, though? Look at the teams that were there. I think, you know, of the Division I teams, all the teams had a national championship other than Gonzaga, and then Gonzaga steps up and plays maybe the best basketball outside of Connecticut. But I don't think you can discount Gonzaga in that last game because they had to be dog tired after some of those overtime contests, especially that Michigan State game. And that game was just one of the most incredible games of basketball I've ever seen with the triple overtime. And I think 12 consecutive times both teams executed their plays and scored. That's ridiculous.
It was an incredible field, and they really lived up to the hype. And it seemed like March, you know, right. A weekend in March out there, and a lot of great games and a lot to be proud of for the Maui Invitational folks for putting that together.
And as a Jayhawk, you got to be proud because your team hung in there. They were in the Arizona game. They could have given up down 20-4. They didn't. They could have given up in the Arkansas game numerous times, and they didn't. And then don't discount the Chaminade game as, they're a D2 opponent. Yeah, they're D2, but you still beat them by 48 on their home court in a tournament that they take a lot of pride in, and it's their one chance to be on television. And don't discount that. And look how well they played against their first two opponents. I think they had leads at least late in the first half, if not in the second half, in both those games. So
Chaminade's never lost a game that big, and they've played a lot of good teams over the years.
Right.
So, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed about that last game just because it was Chaminade.
All right, well, let's switch up to a subject that Ryan Wood knows a little more about. How about KU football? Will they go bowling this season?
Man, I don't know. I wrote that in my column today. I really have no idea who's going to win this game on Saturday, but you know, that's because of that, I'm excited to see it go down. I'm excited to see how it turns out. And who knows? I think Iowa State's a little more talented, but KU's played awfully well at home. So I see it as a toss-up right now.
I don't know how you can discount the Jayhawks at home, but that being said, I don't know how you can pick against Iowa State, a team that's won its last four ball games, and Stevie Hicks in the lineup. And you can probably talk on this point, Ryan, but when he's in the lineup for the Cyclones, they are 6-0, and without him, he's been hampered by an injury. 1-3, and the fact is the guy's just a game changer, and they have that running game. I think they have the best turnover margin in the Big 12. They own time of possession, and when you do things like that and you have a solid defense, that's just tough to beat.
Yeah, they've got great defensive line. It's one thing that's overlooked by this versatile offense, which is still young. Todd Blythe is a 6'5 receiver, just a phenomenal receiver, and a sophomore on top of that. Hicks is a junior. Brett Meyer believes a sophomore, so... And they got a defensive line that can put pressure on Jason Swanson to boot. So, you know, they're 7-3 overall this season. Two of those losses are in overtime.
Right.
And the other one was Baylor, which we all want to forget about.
You got to toss that one.
If you're Iowa State fans. Yeah. But this is going to be no pushover. I think this game's going to go down to the wire. It's going to come down to a turnover and a game change in play. I think in the fourth quarter, it's going to be that close, I believe.
Well, and you mentioned the youth on this squad. 87% of the scoring was from a freshman or a sophomore last year. This year, that group, now juniors and sophomores, 92%. That's ridiculous. They're still a young team, and so they're obviously a team that's going to be pretty darn good next year. But this year, I don't know how you pick against them.
Yeah, it's hard to. You know, I think Iowa State's favored by 2 or 3 points, and, you know, it sounds about right to me. And that's bringing the home field advantage, bringing the line down. Iowa State, I believe, is a better football team, but better football team doesn't always win, especially when they're on the road. I think more than any other sport, college football is a home field advantage sport where the home team has a distinct advantage with the crowd and everything like that. You know, I'm wondering what this crowd is going to be like on a Thanksgiving weekend, but, you know, KU certainly plays well in Memorial Stadium. I don't see that changing. So,
well, look at the difference the A&M crowd made today versus Texas. I mean, they're in that game to the end. This was an A&M team that almost got beat by 50 to the Iowa State, so you never know, I guess.
And it's an A&M team with the worst secondary, I believe, in the nation. And they come out and play that game against Texas, pretty impressive. And you can't count out the home field advantage. And I think there will be a home field advantage come tomorrow, and that's because I want to give a shout-out to the KU Athletic Department. I think they did a good job with tickets. They've been offering tickets to the students. When they buy a ticket, they get one for a family member or a friend. And I know my father's headed up here because of that, and I think that's an impressive job by them to get people in the seats to help out this team because they are the 12th man for this group, and it's worked for them so far this year in Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, it's definitely a smart strategy to, you know, get rid of the rest of the tickets that you have available any way you can. You know, this isn't about making money anymore. This is about KU getting that sixth win, going to a bowl game, and getting this program some national respect and some, you know, some prestige. So, you know, the athletic department realizes that, and that's a good thing for them to do, to say, here, you know, we're going to offer up some free tickets if you buy one. Just come out to the game any which way you can and support KU because they're going to need it because this Iowa State team is really good.
And, Ryan, you mentioned the big play, and if that's the case, KU is going to have to play a great game in a game where there aren't a lot of turnovers because Iowa State is so fundamentally good because that big play could be not giving up a turnover when they normally would or forcing an Iowa State team that doesn't give up a lot of turnovers to do so. They're number one in turnover margin in the Big 12, as I said, and fifth in the nation, plus 13. That means that they average 1.3 more, and that's really the difference, isn't it? You hold on to the ball and you don't turn it over, you're going to beat teams.
That's why they're winners. And I think one key to this game, I think Stevie Hicks is going to get contained well enough. KU's run defense is good enough. Stevie Hicks, I don't think, is going to be a huge problem. The problem is these wideouts. John Davis, Todd Blyth, they're each 6'4 and 6'5. There's no one in KU's secondary that's that tall. And I think the telling point is the first touchdown against Texas.
Yeah.
A bomb down the field, Swede with Baines on him. Baines was on him really tight, and Swede just jumped up, grabbed it right over his head, 6 points, the route's begun. You know, that height disadvantage is nothing to blow off as being not a factor, because it is. And that's where Aqib Talib's going to have a huge game. I believe he'll be on Blythe because he's about 6'2 or so. But, you know, overall, that secondary is going to get tested a lot, I believe.
Well, and this week, Coach Mangino talks about some of the recruits that he's had and some of the guys that he brought in initially, and he said something that I think was very telling about this program. I went with guys that maybe didn't have the D1 size or the D1 athleticism, but you know what? They were difference makers on their team, and that's what you're seeing on defense. We don't have a guys with a ton of athleticism. Kevin Kane, for goodness sake, I'm the slowest runner in the world, and he might be slower than me, but but the guy, the line, the routes he takes to the ball and what he does, he's so intelligent and just such a difference maker because he knows what he's doing. You can never count him out, and that's what KU has. But then the height disadvantage comes in, and we saw how frustrating that was against Texas because the O'Banes was there, the defense was there, and they couldn't make the difference. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow.
Cyclones get close to the end zone, I can certainly see him trying to fade route, you know, trying to get a jump ball up there and see what happens. There's a lot of good storylines in this game. Iowa State could be playing for the Big 12 North.
Right.
You know, KU's obviously playing for a bowl game. It's going to be really interesting. So,
if Nebraska wins today, does that change your opinion of what happens tomorrow, Ryan?
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, KU fans definitely want Colorado to win and get that North title locked up so Iowa State doesn't have so much to play for, because you know, if Iowa State comes in tomorrow knowing a win will be enough, you know, they said in the press all week it doesn't matter what happens Friday with Nebraska Colorado, that's what they got to say, it doesn't matter, you know, they, you know, if you come in with a lot more to play for, you're going to play a lot better, I believe. So, and that's another reason why I'd say KU's, you know, a toss-up in this, you know, because they got a lot more to play for right now. Now that could change here, you know, depending on the Colorado-Nebraska game. But you know, it's going to be a dogfight. There's no doubt about it.
Do you think there's any comfort level that the Jays have played in this situation against the exact same team just 2 years ago? Some of the same faces. Do you think there's anything to that?
I don't, just because it's not really the same team. That team was 2-9. Iowa State was heading into that game, and you know, Bill Whittemore was coming back. It was a very emotional day for KU with the return of Whittemore and with everything on the line after how pathetically horrible they were in 2002, that, you know, I remember going to that game thinking there's no way KU's going to lose. I don't think that this week. So, you know, I think it's two different Iowa State teams more than anything.
That's right,
so
yeah,
that's one thing you got to keep in mind.
Yeah, the difference makers for Iowa State are a completely different bunch of guys that were there 2 years ago. As we said, they were freshmen and sophomores last year. They're just juniors and sophomores this year, and so that's what's scary for KU. It's not a bunch of guys they're used to, and a game last year that was close in Ames now will probably be just as close here, but you just got to wonder what the difference that the crowd makes. And that's my X factor in this game: how many people show up at Memorial Stadium, how many people are there to root for KU and help them to victory, because I think that makes a difference for a crowd on senior day, as a big game it is for KU.
I'm going to say one key is going to be the KU offensive line going up against this Iowa State defensive line. They've got to give Swanson some time back there to do what he's got to do, or else they're not going to score, and they're not going to win if they don't score. So I think the line's got to step up really big for him tomorrow.
How many points get scored in this game? Wait. How many points get scored? This is like a 6-3 game going into the fourth quarter.
I thought that about Nebraska, too. Look how that finished up. That's 55 points. So
this is different, though. Both teams run the ball. Both teams like to take their time. Although, you know, Meyer can move it around, and you talked about the receivers. But if both teams had their way, they'd like to control the game by keeping the clock moving, and that plays into the hands of both defenses.
I'm going to predict 20-17, and I'm not going to predict a winner. So there you go.
I'll go 12-10 somebody. Field goals from somebody.
This guy.
You know me. You know it. I love my defense.
What do you think, Andy Sam?
Well, I'm gonna say 24-21 Jayhawks winning on a field goal.
Wow.
This guy's bold. Bold.
Wow.
Bold, I tell you.
That's a sexy pick.
I think their defense has a lot to prove after Texas and the home crowd. gets it going for them.
That's how they show up.
Texas
man.
Game, yeah.
I know the last time they played on Thanksgiving weekend, Wyoming. Who was there? Me neither.
I was hanging up either. Christmas lights, listening to it on the radio, and they were like, 14,000 here at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, right.
It was about. You were there, right?
No, well, I wasn't there, but I've heard stories. There's probably about 6,000 there, but
yeah.
You know, it's a different game, though. This
and
is
the weather,
a lot
too.
More
that
on the line.
Pretty bad.
Yeah,
conditions.
The weather was horrible. It was Wyoming. KU was already 3-7 at the time, and they'd just come off getting pasted by Iowa State that year. Right. So,
but they won that game.
Yeah, they did beat Wyoming. Mighty Mario and Reggie Duncan, man.
Where is Mario?
The two KU legends. So.
Somebody find me Mario.
I believe he's down in Texas.
If you're out there and you've seen Mario, let me know. The guy owes me 20 bucks still, Andy Sam.
That's going to do it for another edition.
No, it's not going to do it. We got to talk about the high school game.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Jake Sharpwatch, is that what we're talking about?
For the
let's set
purpose
this, let's
of full
set
disclosure,
this yeah,
DJ
we'll
Wetter
quick.
Here is a Blue Valley High grad.
I am.
And Blue Valley High is playing for the Class 5A state title on Saturday against Salina Central. Salina Central is led by Jake Sharp, who is committed to KU and has been absolutely unstoppable all year long. And yet DJ Wetter here tries to say that he doesn't have the tinted glasses on and thinks Jake Sharp can be contained and Blue Valley is going to roll to a state title.
Blue Valley.
Explain, please.
I will, Ryan. Well, thank you for bringing this up. And as you said, I am a Blue Valley grad. But the Tigers roll this weekend over Salina Central for the following reason. A guy I like to call Tywan Hubbard, the running back for the Tigers. Don't discount your man Sharp. And he's a KU guy eventually. So, you know, much love to him for coming here.
All
but
right.
Tywan Hubbard, who is a KSU recruit, he actually wants to be play for the Wildcats. But so far this year, 700-plus rushing yard games. And in the playoffs, he has one TD in the first round, three TDs second round, three TDs in the semifinals, and he has not been kept under 150 yards yet in the playoffs. That's ridiculous. So you put 11 men in the box against Sharp. You let Tywan Hubbard roll, and Tigers go on to victory 40-3 this weekend.
Time out. How many 100-yard games? Let's talk 400-yard games for
okay.
Jake Sharp.
Jake
10
Sharp,
touchdowns, however many you want.
290 carries, 3,041 yards, and 59 touchdowns.
I carried the ball
against
290
Goddard.
Times against Goddard.
Against Goddard, 18 carries for 412 yards and 7 touchdowns. Who else in Kansas has done that? Jake Sharp rolls. Not only that, Sharp is being able to get all these yards because Salina Central is a loaded team. Salina Central by 20.
What happens? What happens when the Tigers put 11 in the box?
We're going to put a little bet on this game. What do you say?
Done.
Done. Someone has
done.
To grow a mustache.
Oh. See, that's a little different because I got to be on air.
Yeah, I don't. So.
Yeah. I get your fiance if the Tigers win.
Yeah. Deal.
I think Wood's pretty safe in that regard.
Whoa.
All right,
Tigers
roll.
That's
going to do it for another episode of the Spodcasters. Today, Tom Keegan and Kevin Rummer were away, but we were joined by Ryan Wood, the Lawrence Journal World's Kansas University beat writer, and DJ Wetter from Channel 6.
It's DJ Wetter.
That's what
there's
I said.
No, there's no weather.
Sam, man, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It was fun.
All right, we'll have to do it again. I'm Andy Samuelson from KU Sports.